Today's reading is on page 1177 in the Church Bible, and it's entitled The Armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place.
Well, we're continuing with our series on spiritual warfare. We've been looking at for quite a number of weeks, painting a scene before we actually come today to look at the first piece of armour that God has given to us. We've looked at, in a wider way, the context of the battle that we face. It's a battle against the world, sinful mankind in rebellion and opposition to God and his purposes. It's a battle against the flesh, that is the remains of our sinful nature in our hearts, warring against our new nature and the Holy Spirit indwelling against us. It's a real battle we face each day against the flesh. And then conflict, most of all, against the devil, the one who's described as the god of this world, the one who's the author of sin, the one who's the sworn enemy of God's people. And through his schemes, we've looked at in previous weeks, his schemes, and through his spiritual forces of evil at work in the world, he seeks to keep unbelievers in spiritual darkness to the truth of revealed in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He seeks to deny or distort the truth of God's word. He seeks to discredit the testimony of God's people. He seeks to depress or destroy a believer's enthusiasm for God's work. And he seeks to dilute the effectiveness of God's people. We have a real enemy that we war against. Well, praise God, he's given us, believers, Church of Jesus Christ, six pieces of armor to enable us to stand firm, to stand our ground in the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. And this morning, the first piece of armor was mentioned in our reading is the belt of truth. Truth is likened to a belt that a Roman soldier wore around his waist to gather up, to bind together the long, loose gown and tunic that he wore under his armor. And without that belt in place, the loose undergarment, well, it would have been a hindrance to him when he used his sword or his shield. Fastening that belt in place achieved three important things for him. It prepared the soldier for action. It freed the soldier for action. And it also gave him a sense of security and assurance that everything was in place. So what does that mean as we apply this to our spiritual lives? In our spiritual conflict with the world and the flesh, and with the devil. It's a settled conviction regarding the absolute truthfulness of God's word. It's a settled conviction regarding the supreme authority of Scripture in all matters of faith and practice that gives us a sense of security that prepares us for action, that frees us for action. And if we have doubts concerning the truthfulness of God's word, or doubts concerning the authority of Scripture, then we will be insecure, we will be weak in our faith. Faith is defined in Scripture as, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So to lack in that certainty is evidence of a weak faith. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message. And if our hearing of God's word is impaired through doubt or through unbelief, then our faith will be insecure. It will be weak. It will be uncertain. And that is graphically revealed to us in the parable of the sower and the seed, which reveals the outcome of four different responses to the word of God. Seed landing on a hard path is snatched away by birds. If God's word is refused entrance into our heart or to our minds, it is snatched away by Satan. Seed landing on stony soil results in the seed germinating quickly. But when the sun comes up, the plant withered because it had no root. If our engagement with God's word is only superficial, when the testing of our faith comes along, we're likely to abandon the faith. A plant surrounded by thorns will be choked, resulting in no fruit. If God's word is choked and suffocated by the cares and the concerns of this life, we will bear little fruit. But the seed planted in good soil, it results in growth, it results in harvest. If God's word is heard and understood and received into our hearts, it will produce a spiritual harvest in our lives. So if our engagement with God's word is met by unbelief or indifference or doubts, or responded to superficially, or choked by the cares and concerns of this life, our faith will be very weak and insecure and uncertain. And if that is the case, we will be inhibited. We will be hindered in the communicating of God's word, in defending God's word. And we see the exact opposite in Christ's response to Satan's testing of Christ in the wilderness. We see absolute certainty in the truthfulness, in the authority of Scripture. Christ replying confidently, assuredly, "It is written, it is written, it is written." We see the same assurance and confidence in God's word from the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. No doubts about it. He goes on, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Absolute certainty in the truthfulness of God's word, in the teaching of Christ. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What certainty in the truthfulness, in the authority of Scripture. And if we're to be confident and courageous witnesses for Jesus Christ, if we're to stand firm against Satan's attacks on God's word, we need to have a settled conviction regarding the absolute truthfulness and authority of Scripture. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have that settled confidence and assurance in God's word? We should have, for the reasons that Scripture gives us why we should have. First of all, it's because it's God-breathed and it's inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we should have that confidence in putting on the belt of truth, because it's God's truth is God-breathed, it's inspired. Secondly, it is forever true and trustworthy. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. What confidence God's word tells us we should have in his word. It's true forever. It's trustworthy. And thirdly, settled assurance because of how wonderfully God's truth enriches our lives. And how greatly that is expressed in God's word. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Reasons we should have confidence in God's word. How do we strengthen our faith? How do we strengthen our confidence in God's word? Well, we learned earlier, did we? In Romans 10, 17, that faith and confidence comes by hearing the message. So we need to improve our hearing, do we? And to improve our hearing, it requires action on our part, but also the working of God for us. Action on our part. We read in Acts concerning the early believers that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, So improved hearing requires giving a priority to the reading and studying of God's word, finding a quiet place and space to do that is important. So also is joining with other believers in studying and learning from God's word. And in the life of the church here, we have a number of groups. We've got three groups who meet for that purpose. If you're not part of a group, this is a great way of you engaging with God's truth in a greater way and applying it to your life. But there are also many Christian resources available to help us to engage in a greater way with God's word. Here's an image of a tool belt. So I want to think of the belt in the sense of the belt of truth. There are things that we can tag on to the belt of God's truth to help us to engage in a greater way with God's word. An important thing to tag on is Bible reading plans. Bible reading plans help us to get into the habit of daily engaging with God's word. Through in the lounge, there's a rack with daily bread, Bible reading plans to help you to get into a habit of looking at God's word and reflecting on it and applying it and praying about it in your life. Bible dictionaries. Do you know there's such a thing? A Bible dictionary, revealing the fuller meaning of biblical words. When you become a Christian, there's a whole new vocabulary when you read the Bible, words that you have not met before. What do they mean? It's important to discover what they mean. Well, there are Bible dictionaries that help you reveal a fuller meaning of biblical words. That's an important tool to add to help you in your engaging with God's word. Also, there are concordances listing where those words are found in other parts of Scripture. That's an important study. To look, and it lists in Old Testament, New Testament, so you have a fuller understanding of that word. Commentaries on books of the Bible giving helpful background information, helping us to understand what is the main purpose of the book. And if you want to get to grips with some of the main biblical doctrines, the main teachings in the Bible, well, systematic theologies are helpful. Systematically looking at all the main doctrines of the Bible, including the authority of Scripture. So lots of tools that can help us. But there are other helpful resources in engaging our minds and our hearts in a greater way with God's word. And this is creeds or confessions or catechisms. There was a Baptist statement, no creed but Christ. Not entirely true. If you look through the scripture, there are lots of scriptural creeds, statements of faith about what we believe. So creeds are helpful for us. Creeds are brief summaries of the Christian faith, formed often in times of doctrinal controversy, where key biblical truths were attacked, like the Trinity, or the deity of Christ, or the humanity of Christ. Two of the most well-known creeds are the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. These are creeds that can help us in formulating a greater understanding of God's word and his truth. Or there's confessions of faith, formal statements of beliefs and doctrines held by a church, association of churches or denominations. The purpose of a confession of faith is to establish a common understanding of essential beliefs, guide the teachings and practices of the faith community, provide a basis for unity and follow and fellowship among believers. The most well-known confession is the Reformed Westminster Confession of Faith, written in 1646. It's still affirmed by Reformed and Presbyterian churches worldwide. If you want a more Baptist one, well, there's the London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689, largely based on the Westminster Confession. Confessions are helpful resources for engaging our minds and our hearts with biblical truth. Then finally, catechisms, manuals of instructions in Christian beliefs, normally in question and answer form, used by parents with children, church leaders with new members. It can be integrated into public worship. The most well-known is the Presbyterian Reformed Catechism. It's a Westminster Shorter Catechism, which the London Baptist Confession of Faith in 1689 is largely based on. The first two questions of the Westminster Confession. Question one, what is man's primary purpose? Does anyone know the answer? What is man's primary? Yeah, what a wonderful, concise summary. To glorify God, more than that, to enjoy him forever. What a wonderful combination. What is the second one? What authority from God directs us how to glorify him and enjoy him? The answer, the only authority for glorifying and enjoying him is the Bible, which is the word of God and is made up of the Old and New Testaments. Catechisms are another helpful scripture-based tool for engaging our minds and our hearts with God's truth. And if we're to stand our ground against the devil's lies, we need to actively engage our hearts and our minds with God's truth. And there are many resources to help us in that. And then lastly, and most importantly, if our minds and hearts are to be powerfully engaged with God's truth, we need the help and the assistance of God. Ephesians 6 tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. So to improve our hearing, we need the assistance of God's Spirit to open our understanding, to be our teacher. And we read incredible words concerning Christ in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. What an important scripture that is to us. How amazing. God, the Holy Spirit, can awaken our ears every day to listen, to be switched on to God's truth. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit can enable us to be switched on to God's truth, to be tuned in, to hear what God is saying to us in and through His Word. He can give us well-instructed minds and hearts and tongues. And He can give us the words that truly sustain us and strengthen us. He can give us the words that sustain and strengthen others as well. That was the Lord Jesus' experience, switched on to the words of the Father, revealed through the Holy Spirit to Him. I only speak the words that the Father give me, is what he said. So he was switched on, and the Holy Spirit helped him to discern, to hear the word of the Father to him. So the Holy Spirit helps us as we engage with God's word to be switched on so that we can hear, so that we can be understand, so that we can be challenged. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to put it into practice in our lives as well. So we need all the resources that God can give us in His Word and through His Spirit, and other resources to help us to unpack and get to grips and to understand God's Word in a greater way, so that we can identify the lies of the devil and to resist the lies and the falsehoods of the devil, and so that we are able to communicate and to defend the Bible's teaching to others as well. So that's the first item of armor that God gives us. It's the belt of truth. How important that we know the belt of truth, come to understand it, and by God's grace and help, apply it and live it out and speak it out in our lives. Wonderful truths about God that we worship is found in our closing hymn that we're going to be singing, words of number 465. We began our worship about spotlighting the Lord Jesus, and that is our concluding note of praise as well, as we think about His meekness and His majesty and the sacrifice that He made for us.